Good morning. I trust that everyone is a little better rested this week than in the past weeks. An extra hour of sleep. Unfortunately, you may need the extra rest and concentration today. The sugya of Sefiras Metatlin is a little bit more complex than some of the other sugyas that we've done in the past. Now, to briefly review what we've learned until now, is we began by discussing the halachos of when a person rents something, he rents a car, rents a donkey, whatever it may be. What are the halachos if he changes the use of the item? So, to start with the most extreme case, if you load up the truck with more than it normally carries, you add an additional 1/30th or more to its normal load. So there the halacha is, you're responsible for any damage that occurs. The Ktzos adds, not only are you responsible if the axle just breaks if it's too heavy, but even if something else happens, because you were shaleach yad, because you used it in a way that certainly was not meant to be done, at that point you become a shaleach yad, you become a gazlin, and even if an unrelated oinus happens, you're responsible. It's equivalent of basically taking something without permission, and you're responsible for whatever the consequences. So, the person rents a car and decides to go drag racing. So, if while he's drag racing, the car gets hit by lightning or in a completely unrelated oinus, he's responsible. Because once he's shaleach yad, once he's using it in a way which clearly was not intended, he now becomes a gazlan, a shaleach yad, and is responsible for anything that happens. If he adds on to the load a minimal amount, he adds less than 1/30th to its tip to the normal load, there the halacha is that amount is considered insignificant. It is not a shleach yad. Even if the axle breaks, we say that had it been a normal or a typical truck, it would not have happened, and therefore you are not responsible. That's not a meaningful change, and you're not responsible for any consequences. Now, what happens in a case where you rented the truck to, and you specifically said you're going to just put in a half a load, and then you were mishana, you put in more than that? So here we have a case where you've done more than the agreement, but it's less than the typical load of an animal, of a truck. So this is a huge machlokes among the Rishonim. Do we say that since you've done more than you were supposed to, you're responsible for the damage? Or you say that no, since it is less than a chamar can usually handle, anything that happens is an oinus, it's not your fault, and you're going to be pater. Now, what many poskim lalacha follow the Tshuvas HaRashba, Talmidei HaRashba, which makes some sort of a pshara, he says it depends who imposed the condition. If the owner says, I'm renting it for half a load, then we assume that means the owner realized this is a weak truck, this is a weak animal, and therefore can only handle a small load. If you add a 30th above that, that is there, you're going to be responsible for what happened. It's not called an oinus. Masha Einkein, if the owner is ready to rent it for anything, and you happen to mention you're only doing a small load, perhaps you negotiate a discount. But since there's no indication anywhere that this is a weak animal, this is a weak truck, therefore, if anything does happen, we will assume it's an oinus. Others also differentiate how clear it is that the damage came because of the load. In other words, if the axle cracks, it clearly couldn't handle the weight. So then, the bottom line is you breached the contract. The damage came as a direct result of the breach. You're going to be responsible. However, if it breaks, but it's not entirely clear, was it the load or was it some other factor? Or in the case of the animal, it dies. You don't know whether it was the extra weight or something else, so there you're not going to be responsible because since normal animals can handle the weight and it won't die, we're not going to jump to conclusions. But if it is obvious, if it's clear what caused it, even if it's a small load, you're still going to be responsible. Now, these are all cases where you added to the weight. You did more than you were supposed to or more than is typical. What happens if you change the use? You take the animal to go on the mountain, you go and instead you take it to the valley, mountain, you switch its use. So here too, if you're going to use it in a way that is clearly not, it's not meant to be used, you're going to go drag racing with it, that is the equivalent of adding more than a 30th, you're going to be responsible for anything that happens, even if it's not related to to your Pshia. On the other hand, if you switch it from a mountain to a valley or a valley to a mountain, there one is not more dangerous than the other. The only difference is they have different risks. The mountains, are it's easier for an animal to slip. The valleys, it's easy for them to overheat. So since the overall risk is the same, it's just different dangers. So there, you're only responsible if it dies because of this additional risk that you exposed it to. If you bring it up the mountain where you're supposed to be in a valley, so because that in valleys, animals do not slip, you put her up the mountain and it did slip, there you're going to be responsible because you had no right to expose it to this slipping danger. Masha'inkein, if it's meis machmas malacha, or if it's tam meisa kidarkai, if it dies on its own, nothing to do with where you brought it, there you're going to be pater. Because the switching it from a mountain to a valley, since both are normal uses, both are roughly the same, you don't become a gazlan. That's not a shaleach yad. So therefore, you're only responsible if the damage happens directly because of what you did. If it slips on the mountain, you're going to be responsible. But if it stam dies, we say malach amavis, mali hocham, mali hosam, you're not a gazlan, you're not going to be responsible to pay. Because shaleach yad, because the Gemara says that if you hold, Rav Meir holds kol mavar das baal bayis nikra gazlan. Whenever you change the instructions, you're a gazlan, you're responsible for everything. We paskin not like that. We paskin that if you do something which is significantly more, you add a 30th to the load, that's a material difference, that's called a shol shlomidas, that's called a shaleach yad, and you're going to be responsible. However, switching from the mountain to the valley, which is not more dangerous, it's not a meaningful difference, that's not enough to become a gazlan. So in such a case, if it slips on the mountain, in other words, if you expose it to a danger and that danger happens, then you're going to be responsible. If it's mesa kadaka, you're going to be putter. In a case where you take it on the mountain and the weather on the mountain happens to have been bad during that period, even though it's the weather in the mountain, the valley, one's no more likely than the other to be bad. But bottom line is, if you were Mishana, you took it where you weren't supposed to, and on that day, punct your mazel, the weather there was bad, if it dies, we have the Ramah Paskins, we assume that it's because of the weather, and you're going to be responsible. So even though you weren't a Pesheya, even though you're not a Gazlan, since had you followed instructions, it would not have died, because in the place where you were supposed to take it, the weather wasn't pleasant, it's only on the mountain that you had that storm. So even though it's not called a pshia, the weather could be the same in equal places, since, bottom line, it would not have happened had you followed instructions. In that case, the Ramah says that you're going to be chayiv. We're going to assume that it died because of the weather, even though animals don't always die because of a storm. The Sma'al learns in the Mechaber, not like that. He says if it's the weather, since if it slips on a mountain, so clearly you brought it up the mountain, animals slip on the mountain, you're responsible for what happened. But if you bring it on the mountain and there's a storm and it dies, most animals do not die simply because there's a storm. So unless we have some sort of proof that it died specifically because of the weather in this area, there the Rambam holds that you'd be pater. Now in a case where you rented it, you were supposed to go on one mountain and instead you traveled on another mountain. You rented it to go in one direction, you traveled in the other direction. So there's no meaningful change whatsoever to the Shinui. But both mountains, both the directions that you travel in, one is not more dangerous than the other. So there, in general, you are not going to be responsible because it's not called a meaningful Shinui whatsoever. Again, unless it's clear that there's something, and on this day, this har was more dangerous than the other har. Now, there's a Machloikus Ramban and the Meiri. If in a case where a person says specifically, I want you to go, I'm renting this to you to go in this particular mountain and not to go onto another mountain. So in that case, the Ramban says, even if you switch, even if you lehed, you violated what he said, you're still going to be patur because there's no real difference between one and the other. The Meiri says not like that. The Meiri says that if you said in a normal case when you rented to go on this mountain and you want to go on another mountain, that's not a shinui, and that's fine. But if the owner said specifically, I want you to go here and not there, and you violated the instructions, There, he says, you will be responsible because he specifically told you not to. Now, it's probably not a machlokes. The Ramban is, the Iri is probably talking about where you made a real tanai. So even though there's no difference between going north or south, there's absolutely no reason why one is more dangerous than the other. If the owner makes a tanai, I'm only giving it to you to go here, and I'm not giving it to you to go somewhere else, so he never gave you permission to go somewhere else. You're a goslin. It may not make any sense. It may be totally unreasonable to make this condition, but if it's his, and I said I'm only letting you go here, so that was the condition. And if you go somewhere else, you are a goslin, and you're going to be responsible for whatever happens. In the Ramban's case, is probably where you did not make a tanai. You just said, I want you to go over here. But because you did not make a real tanai, we say, although you said it, but the change is not a meaningful change, and you would not become a goslin, and you would not be responsible. So this is the sugya of changing the use. Yes. A goslin, if you're shaleach yad, it's the equivalent of, just like if I walk into your house and I help myself to your car middle of the night and I return it unharmed the next morning, I was a goslin, you didn't suffer any loss. So here too, if the person says you can use it specifically for this use and you went ahead and did something else, you're shalech lemidas, you're a seichesh lemidas, and in this case you'd be a goslin. No, a goslin, even after he returns it, has to ask mechila. Correct. There's no chiyuv mamon because there was no damage done. You were mekayim the heshiv as a gzela, but the iser gzela or shaleach yad, you certainly were over. Now, I just do want to mention that this is all in the context of schiros when you're renting something. By a shoyel, their halachos are much more chomer. The Nesivus explains that by a soicher, there's an assumption. If someone's renting cars and he says you can rent in the mountain, there's an assumption he doesn't really care too much whether you go in the valley, because people who have rental car companies rent it wherever you want to go. So there's more of a leeway. There's an assumption that had you asked him, he would have been okay either way. My she'en came by a shoyo, where he's doing you a favor, so there we do not have the right to extrapolate and say if he was kind enough to do you the favor for the mountain, he probably would have done this favor as well. We say whatever he gave you whatever not. And therefore, by a shoyol, almost any change that you make, you're going to be responsible. It's only by a soicher where we're a bit more stricter. This is at least the Nesivus' mahalach to fam for stiris in the sugyas.
I mentioned to somebody, and he told me he's
so this is, in general, the halacha is by schirus. The bottom line is, you shouldn't be changing, and when you do change, if there's any damage that results from that change, you're going to be responsible. Now the next area, which we just briefly began last week, is what is the halacha if you rent something and during the period of the rental it breaks? Either it breaks completely or it breaks partially. The example that we started with is you rent a car and while you're driving there's a problem with the alternator, there's a problem with the transmission, it still drives, but doesn't perform as expected. So here we have, let's just take a step back and just set up the shaila to understand the lumdus, because we're going to see there are quite a number of different chalukim. When you buy something, if after you buy it, an oinus happens, literally, you buy a car, on the way out, something happens. So usually, in that case, it'd be a mekach tois, because probably it was broken beforehand, you just didn't realize it. However, in a case where it clearly broke afterwards, even if it broke a moment after you purchased it, the halacha is, it's the buyer's loss. At this point, once he buys the car, once he makes a kinyan, it belongs to him. If anything happens, whether it breaks completely or partially, maz loy goram, nistapcha sadecha, it's his problem, and he's the one that suffers the loss. Case number one. On the other extreme, if you hire a worker to paint your house, you make up a price, perhaps even if you make a kinyan. And the next morning, before he shows up to work, lightning strikes the house burns down to the ground. Now, obviously, you cannot paint a house that doesn't exist. Do you have to pay the worker for the job? So the answer is, pashtus, no. Because you agree to pay him to paint the house. If he's not going to paint the house, even though it's not his fault. He's not the one that burnt it down. But if at the bottom line is the house cannot be painted, so he cannot perform the services, he cannot send you a bill. Again, in Schirus Parlin we discussed perhaps if the owner knew there was a risk and he didn't disclose it, it might be different. But this is in a typical case where an oinus happened that neither of them knew or both of them could have known. The Pashat Halacha is you don't pay the worker, he didn't perform the service, he doesn't get paid. How do we look at a rental? When you rent a car and something happens to it, do we say that you bought the car for the week? Now, you don't own the car, but you bought the use of the car for the week. If now this car doesn't work very well, so it's like you bought a car and it died, it's your problem. So perhaps you should be responsible to pay. Mazlecha garam, your hishtamishas, your car, or the car that you own temporarily has this problem, and it's your responsibility. Or perhaps no. Perhaps you're paying to use the car. The same way when you hire a worker, you're paying him to perform the services. If he cannot perform, you don't pay him. So when you rent a car or you rent a house, you're paying to use the house. If it can't be used, if it's broken, perhaps you should not have to pay. So as we're going to see, there are a number of different cases, a number of different chalukim, which we'll have to deal with one by one. The first case in the Gemara is, you rent a donkey, and it gets sick. Now when it gets sick, different sicknesses, it still can travel. You can ride it, it can carry a load. But it's going to go much slower. It is going to be much more difficult to handle it. So there the Gemara says that the owner can tell the soicher, Hareshecha lefanecha. You rented the donkey for a week, you have its use for a week, it still works. You have to continue the schirus, and according to most places, you have to pay me in full. Why? Because, as the Nesivus explains, everyone agrees if you rent a donkey, the owner can't give you a sick donkey. Because when you rent, that would be a mekach tois. You're entitled to a donkey, to a car that works normally. Over here, when they gave it to you, it was perfect, in perfect condition. Something happened afterwards, and now it's weak. Now it walks very slowly. Since it still is usable, we say it's the soicher's problem. His payros, he bought the right to use it. His rights got ruined. It's now weaker. It now works. Now walking more slowly. He still has to pay. He cannot retract. He cannot void the schirus. Now, according to most places, you have to pay in full. There is a shita, which is not really brought down in halacha, but there is a shita that says that you don't have to pay. It just means that the master can void the deal, which again we'll have to explain that later. But kopanim lahalacha, come out of all the place can say in such a case, even though the animal is weaker, you would have to pay in full. Now similarly, so let's just go back to the case that we discussed. If you rent a car, assuming at the time you rented it was in perfect condition. And then while you're riding, suddenly the alternator goes. Or suddenly the transmission goes, it doesn't have a fourth gear. As long as it's still drivable, it's still safe to drive, even though it's not geschmack, even though it will take you longer to arrive at your destination, if it still could be used, we say mazloi garam, and the schira stands, you have to pay in full. So in the... So I'll tell you even a better case. The Nesivus adds insult to injury. What happens? You rent your truck. You're moving across the country. So you rent your U-Haul truck, and you figured it'll take you 3 days to drive to move everything to California. You start along the way, and an hour into the trip, suddenly the engine starts shaking and this, and you can't go more than 30 miles an hour. So now, instead of taking 3 days to go across the country, takes you 6 days to go across the country. You get to California, and when you give them the truck, and you say you want a discount, you don't want to pay in full because they gave you 11. The owner says, first of all, you're not getting a discount. You were able to drive; it worked. But not only that, we agreed you're paying $200 a day. It was 6 days, not 3 days. Zok the Nesivus, the owner's right. Since you cannot be choizer from the schirus, you can say, we say, since the hishtamishas is what got ruined, that's your problem, not ours. Therefore, the Nesiva says, if it's, even if it takes longer, you have to pay Tzchirus for those additional days. Now, on this, the Pesachei Choshen, the Aruch HaShulchan, say this cannot be. He says it's one thing to say Nistapchas Sedecha that I can't, that for the amount, the time that I told you I would take it, I'll pay you in full. However, they say it's as a davar pashut, it can be that you can turn around and send him a bill, and they say you will not have to pay more than the original amount. But the Nesivas argues, and his logic is, if we look at it as if this breaking, this defect, is the mazel of the soicher, it's his problem, so this is another unfortunate consequence of his bad mazel.
There's a difference between Dr. Sadeho and a car that any mechanic can tell you when a car breaks down, an hour afterwards, it was like renting.
I said, I agree with you. In a case where the defect was there before, that would be a mekach tois. And everyone agrees. So an hour in, or whatever your case is, if the defect wasn't there before, it's not an issue of mekach tois, then the Nesiva says, if nistapcha sodecha, even though it now takes longer, even though there are additional expenses, this is all the soicher's problem, because we look at it as his peiros got ruined, and therefore he is responsible for any of the consequences, and it's his loss. Oh, very good, very good. That will be different, but just let's do the next halacha, then I'll get back to it. But you're right. If he says, I'm renting it for 3 days to go from point A to point B, and now it's not capable of doing it, that's not like it still works. That's like it's completely dead, it's completely gone, and the halacha will be different. Very good.
How can you say a ratio for that? There's a double standard here. Now, on the one hand, you're saying it's your model. That means it broke down. Because of you, it broke down. So how can you take that broken piece and give it back to the
masker
afterwards and say...
He's an oinus. A soicher is not responsible for oinus. He didn't do anything wrong. So even though it's his mazel, you're not responsible. You're responsible for your actions, not for your mazel. So the breaking was an oinus. But we say that since his payer is broke, he's the one that suffers that loss. So this was the first case. If it's still usable, even though it's bidyevit, it's not gishmak, You have to pay in full as long as not a mekach tois. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein has a great case, as he always does. A person rented a hotel room for Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, and they made up. They told the person that make sure set the Shabbos clock that at 10:30 at night the lights go out in the room. The owner did that, and sure enough, there was an oinus. The Shabbos clock broke, and the lights were on overnight. You can imagine it was not a very relaxing or restful weekend. They couldn't sleep the whole night. So the question is, do they have to pay or not? So this is a case where a room with the lights on is usable. It's, you know, it's shelter, but it's certainly not geschmack. It's certainly not what a person wants. And therefore, he says, in a case, assuming it was an oinus, again, if the owner was negligent, that's a different story. But assuming it's an oinus, the Shabbos clock broke, this is the equivalent of an animal getting sick. It walks. It's just not geschmack. And he says, in that case, you would have to pay in full. And again, we can make up your own cases, but your air conditioning blows, anything that happens in a rental car where it still is usable, this halacha would apply. So this is case number one. You rent it. After the rental, something happens. It's weak. It's schwach, but it still is usable. The next case in the Gemara is where you rented the animal, and while you're using it, it dropped dead. Now, in that case, it was an oinus. Certainly, the renter is not responsible for the death because he didn't cause it. But now the question is, does he get a refund, or does he have to pay for the time from when it drops dead or not? You know, can the owner say that it's true, my animal died, you don't have to pay me for it? But you rented the use for a week. If it's dead, so your use is gone. Still, you have to pay me. Gemara says no. Gemara says when the animal is dead, when the use is no longer ba'olam, it cannot be used anymore at all. In that case, you only pay rent for the use of the item. If it's not available anymore, it's gone, it can't be used at all. There, you do not have to pay for that period of time. So you pay, if it drops dead halfway through the trip, you pay for half of the rental, the amount of time that you used it for, but from the moment it dies and on, you will not have to pay.
After the work is
Oh, very good, very good. So there, the Gemara discusses this. What happens in a case where you have your U-Haul, you're moving from Muncie to California, and somewhere in the middle of Death Valley, it breaks down. So can you say, let's prorate it, figure out how much time you had it, and pay for that use? So the Gemara says yes. The Gemara says you pay for whatever use that you have. The Gemara's argument is that had you rented the truck to make it to Death Valley, this is the amount you have had to pay. This is how much you're using it for. And therefore, you have to pay. Now, Tosfos says, what does this mean? It's true if you wanted to go to Death Valley, this is how much you'd pay. But you don't want to go there, and nobody wants to go there. What benefit did you have for a trip halfway there that leaves you stranded? So Tosfos says, in a case where you have no benefit from going half the way, you're off the hook. But Zaktaisis, what happens if you don't get stranded in Death Valley? You get stranded somewhere in Chicago. Now, what's going to be there? You're going to rent another truck to get you to California. Now, when you rent a truck from Chicago, it's going to be a lot less expensive than it is renting it from Muncie. So since you did benefit from going there, there, you're going to have to pay your rent. Now, even if the numbers don't work out, it's two small trips will end up somewhat more. You're going to be responsible. Since you had some benefit, you have to pay the full use. If you have no benefit, if for some reason the Chicago to California rate is the same as the Muncie to California rate, then you're putzer. But once you have some benefit, even if it's not the amount that you expected, Tosfos says you're going to be responsible. Alternatively, he says, in a case where you're transporting merchandise, even though you wanted to bring it to California, which is the best place to sell it, as long as it breaks down in a place which is also a good place, people do travel, it's Chicago. So while it may not be as lucrative, plenty of people do travel there to sell merchandise, Tosfos says you'd be responsible to pay. Masha Enkein, if it's not a place where you can sell it, there's no benefit, Tosfos says ein achnami. So bottom line is, according to Tosfos, if it breaks down in middle and you only have to pay for the amount of time that you had, if you do have some benefit, even if it is not the full benefit that you expected. The Achroinim Armadaik, the Rambam might argue, the Rambam might learn the Gemara Kipshuta and say you're responsible regardless for half of it. Again, it's a Chiddush and it's not really Mefurish anywhere, it's just Diukim in the Rambam.
We say if someone walks off the job, then from his pay, whatever it is to replace.
Correct, but that's very good. That's when he walks off the job. If there's an oinus, there the halacha was different. There was a very similar concept. You pay for the amount that he did, even if it will now cost you more to finish. It's only when he's pesheya, it's yada al tachtaina, it's a knas, whatever the pshat is. But when it's an oinus, it's not his fault, it's just he can't continue, then he gets paid for his work as long as you had some benefit. We will revisit this at the end of the sugya, but your point is a very good one. Excellent. But that's true. And everyone agrees, had you given him, from day one, the air conditioning didn't work, it's a mekach toys, and you can either give it back or only pay 80. The point over here is, he gave you a car with a working air conditioner. So he did what he was supposed to do. Now your mazel, just like we understand, if you rent a car for a week, and the first day you take a hammer, and you smash the air conditioner, your mazel. At the end of the week, when you give back the car, you can't say, listen, I'm a mazik, I'm going to pay you for the air conditioner, but now I want a deduction on the rent because the air conditioner didn't work. We say it's your mazel. You rented it for $100. You decided to smash the air conditioner. That's your problem. Now, over here, you obviously didn't take a hammer and smash it, but when we're saying mazlecha garam, we're saying it happened because of you. This was from Shemayim because on your cheshbon, not on his, and therefore you can't deduct from the rental. That's true, but it's both of your mazels. If it's not only the mazel's problem. We say the fact that it happened now is your problem. So these 3 days that you suffered is your mazel. The fact that afterwards now the owner has to fix it, that's his mazel. But the fact that it happened the first day, not the last day, that's your mazel, and therefore you're not going to get a deduction for that amount. So we have two cases. If it's just weak but usable, it's the renter's mazel, he pays in full. If it's dead, it's not usable whatsoever. There, the masker is the one that loses. Now, there are cases, even if it doesn't die, if you have a case like what you mentioned, if you rented the truck to get from Muncie to California in 3 days, and now because of its weakness, and it cannot get there in 3 days, now it can no longer perform what it was rented for. That is the equivalent of dying. Or similarly, in the case of the donkey that's sick, the Gemara starts making chalukim. If you're transporting wood, construction materials on it, that's not a big deal. It's a little weaker, so maybe it'll fall, nothing will happen. However, if you're transporting a delicate load, you're transporting glass, so you can't transport glass on a donkey that's weak. Because if it falls, your entire load will be destroyed. So in a case like that, there, even though it's technically here, it's not dead, but since it is not usable for what you rented it for, in that case, it is the equivalent of dying. In that case, you do not have to pay at all. It's only when it still is usable for what you rented it for, there, that's the case where you'll have to pay. That's true. So if the car suddenly sounds, starts making a racket, and you can't show up on a date and take on a car that's going boom, boom, boom the whole time, enechanami. But if you go ahead and you pick her up with it, then obviously it is usable. It's not, you wouldn't do it lecharchila, but after the fact, it's not, but you know, it's usable. You have a good conversation piece. You have what to talk about on it. So then you would not get a discount. Okay, so Schiris Karka, should make a point. Schiris Karka will have slightly different halachas, but the way we're understanding right now, if it's an oinus, which it is an oinus, assuming that it's not anybody's fault, you rented it. It's, you know, the question is, can a chasen hole without electricity, can that be used bedoichik or not?
I mean, you can't have it already. You had the wedding, and the middle of just finished the first dance, so that you have to pay for it.
You definitely would have to pay for something. You have to pay for the amount that you used it for, you definitely have to pay for. And that has a value. How much, assuming from Nikala, but it's not usable, and everyone just clears the hole and leaves. So you'd have to figure out how much hanah you have from using it halfway, which is a very difficult number to figure out. For some people, they would prefer a chasana like that. Everyone gets home early. Their wives probably wouldn't see it quite that way. That's true. In all of these cases, nobody wants a donkey that's sick. Nobody wants a car that the transmission only is missing a gear. But if it happens afterwards, we say mazloi gara, and as long as it's still usable, we say it's his hefzid. In that case, you'd have to pay. It's true. It was an absolute miserable Shabbos. But the misery was self-imposed to the extent that we say his mazel was goyrim, that it broke this week, not Matzoy Shabbos. That's his mazel, and there he will not get a deduction. So here we have, okay, so we have two cases. We have where it got sick, you do pay. Where it dies, it's totally unusable, you don't pay. Now we have a third case, which will make everything a little bit more complicated. And this third case is, the Gemara discusses a case where it seems that the kings back then, when his soldiers or servants needed to travel somewhere, they did not bother owning their own cars or owning their own donkeys. They would set along their way, and the first donkey they met, they would pull out their badge, say, "We work for the king, give us the donkey." And then they would take the donkey and they would travel, and they would go wherever they need to go, until they met another donkey. When they met the new donkey, they then dismounted the first one they stole, and they stopped the second donkey and took that. And the first person would now be able to reclaim his donkey. So each person, they would take basically the car or the donkey, and they would just use it until they met the next one. They'd switch from one to another, and until they got to their destination. So the Gemara discusses what happens if you rent your donkey and it gets seized by the king. So Shmuel says like this. Shmuel says, it depends how it gets seized. If the soicher is driving along the way, and he has the bad mazel of bumping into the king's messenger, so what does the messenger do? He takes the donkey, and now it's gone either for a few days or it's gone for a few months, however much time it may be. Zakeh Shmuel, in that case, we say, mazloi garam. We say that since it's your bad mazal, you drove into the messenger, had you taken another route, had you gone in another direction, this never would have happened. So since it's happened directly because you bumped into him, you cannot be chosen from the schirus, you have to pay for the full rent. Masha Inkein, in a case where they go into houses, the servant doesn't go ahead and just, whoever he bumps along the road, he takes their donkey. In this particular case, they're searching through the houses looking for donkeys. There, it has nothing to do with the seicher, how he's riding or where he's going. We say, since they're searching the houses in the city one by one, Mali, it's in the seicher's house, Mali in the masker's house, it would have been taken away regardless. And in that case, it's the mazel of the masker, and the seicher does not have to pay. Now, in this particular case, when the donkey is taken away, can you use it at all? No. You can't ride a donkey that's not here. Nevertheless, it depends why it's taken away. If it was in the road and you just bumped into the wrong fellow and he takes it away, we say even though you don't have any use, that's your mazel and you cannot be chozer from the spheres. Ma'ish Enkein, if they're searching the houses, we say he would have found it anyway. Now this is a problem. What is the difference between an animal, when an animal dies, who suffers the loss? Do you have to pay rent after the animal dies? No. We say the animal's dead, it's the masker's problem. In this case, where the animal gets taken away, even though it won't be returned, according to the Smite, it'll never be returned, and according to the Nesivas, the case is it won't be returned until after the schiris is over, you have no use whatsoever from this animal. And still we're saying if it's along the way, you do have to pay. So what's the difference between these two cases? What? Okay. Good. So there are a number of mahalchim in the Achrayim. What one shot is, and it's really meduyik in Taisus and Rebbeinu Chananel, and the Mabit makes this diyuk beferish. What Taisus seems to say is like this. When the animal dies, Why doesn't the renter have to pay? Because we say if the animal is dead, that's not my mazel. It's the owner's animal. If it dies, that's his mazel. That has nothing to do with me. And since it's his mazel, I don't have to pay since I'm not getting any use. Zoktosis, normally when the item itself breaks, the whole item is gone or it dies, there we say it's the mazel of the masker. This case is an exception. Because in this case, they only take the donkey from when they bump into it. And the seicher is the one that was driving. He's the one that decided which route to take. So he is the shlemazel that drove into the ambush. So in this case where he drove into an ambush, even though the whole thing is gone, we say this case, it's his mazel. It's only in a typical case. If it could have happened at random, it died. It could die anywhere. When it dies, anything happens, if the gufa davar is gone, is destroyed, we assume we are toilet in the owner's mazel. But in a case where it's the seicher directly did say, wasn't not negligent, but he drove into the ambush, there we see it's his mazel, and therefore, even though it's completely unusable, we say he still has to pay. So according to this, it comes out, this is a very limited case. When the item itself is destroyed, normally we assume it's the owner's problem, the owner's mazel. In this particular, in an extreme case where it's clearly the seicher's action that led to it, even though it's not his negligence, there we say he caused it and he would have to pay, even though he has absolutely no use whatsoever. Now, other achroinim say, I think this may have been what you're driving at, is there's a difference between when it's dead and when it's not here. When you pay to use an item, you're renting a house, so you're renting a car. So you're paying for its payers. If it's dead, it doesn't have any payers. You can't pay, or you're not mechuyev to pay for payers that don't exist. And therefore, in such a case, by Misa, the case where now it's not usable, it's simply can't, it's lame, it's blind, it doesn't have those payers anymore, there we say that's the masker's, it's the owner's problem, and you don't have to pay. Mashenkin over here, the animal is perfectly healthy. It's still producing payers. What's the problem? The problem is that the soicher lost control of it. He can't access the payers. Whose fault is that? The owner didn't do anything wrong. It was an inus. So in a case where there are no payers, the animal's dead, you can't make someone pay for payers that don't exist. However, if the animal simply gets taken away, since the payers are ba'olam, the owner says, you paid me for the payers, go take them. You can't find them because there's a bully sitting there not letting you get access to it? What do you want from me? Take it up with him. So therefore, it's only in a case where the payers are no longer ba'olam, they can't exist. There, we say, the seicher doesn't pay for it because now there's nothing here to pay for. Ma'ashenkein, if it still is usable, just there is a bully that grabbed the payers, the owner says, I did what I was supposed to. I provided you a working donkey. You have a problem with the king, take it up with him, but I don't have to reduce my rent because of that. So this is the second mahalach, and an interesting case that comes out is the Nesivos talks about a case where a person rented a house, and the soldiers came to town, and they didn't have barracks, so they would move into people's houses. So Nesivos says like this: if the soldiers move into the house, you could live with them. You can stay there. Now, it's not very pleasant to be in a house full of a bunch of big, smelly soldiers. But you could do it. B'doichik, you could live there. If that's the case, he says, that has a din of something getting of an animal getting sick. And then everyone would agree you'd have to pay. Masha Enkein, if the soldiers come and they don't want anyone living here, they evict you, they say, get out of here. For the next few weeks, we're here, we're taking over. Nesivos says that is the equivalent of when they come, they search the houses for the donkey. There, we say it's the mazel of the masker's goyrim, since it is not usable. He says in that case, you would not have to pay for the rent. Machan Ephraim argues. Machan Ephraim says, since there's similar to the spar that we just mentioned, since the house is there, the payers are there, it's not dead, there's a problem. You have a problem that there are soldiers that won't give you access. Since the payers are still there, the owner can say, and he says, even in that case, even when you have no use whatsoever, you still would have to pay for the rent. That is why the Nesivos makes the chiluk, and the Machan Ephraim is the chiddush in this case.